When it comes to midnight on New Year's Eve and the fireworks go off and we go into another year, I always feel like I should feel different. I feel that now the clocks change and we're into a new year, I should have a different feeling about life. But of course, just the clock ticking over from the last minute of the previous year into the first minute of the new year actually doesn't make a great deal of difference. But the knowledge that we're heading into a new period of time does actually make a difference. We want it to make a difference. We want the new year to be better or at least different to the past year. So have we got a slide there, Peter? With the entering into the new year, the question is, I guess, on everybody's lips, what will that new year be like? What will it bring? Well, we never thought, perhaps at this time last year, that we would have a new king on the throne. We never thought at this time last year we would have seen three prime ministers go through the country. We never thought this time last year that perhaps the things which you've experienced individually and as families would have happened. But they have. And so it's very difficult, isn't it, to stand on the edge of a new year and to predict what will happen. And in some ways, it's probably best that we don't know, because if we knew the future, then we would live a very worried life, wouldn't we? So many people have tried to tell us what 2023 will be like, whether the prices will go up or the prices will come down, and what will happen in the world of politics and even in the world of sport. But we're still left with that question: what will it be like? And that was a question, thank you, that was a question that was being asked by the Israelites when they got to Canaan. Now remember that the Israelites had been led by God through the leadership of Moses from slavery, from Egypt, out towards the promised land. And for 40 years they'd been wandering around the desert. And it perhaps had turned out not quite as they had hoped. It wasn't an express route to the promised land. They wandered around quite a lot. And that was partly, I believe, because God wanted them to put their trust in him. It wasn't a quick fix finding the promised land, but his promise that they would get to it remained very strong and clear. And during that time of wandering around, they got a little bit anxious, they got a little bit fed up, they even started to be rebellious. You remember at one point that they created a golden calf to worship because they were so frustrated that they weren't getting to where they thought they were going to go. Moses wasn't getting them to the promised land, that they decided, well, let's worship another god, let's worship a golden calf and things might get better. So after 40 years, here they are on the cusp, on the edge of getting into the promised land. And this is their question: what will it be like? And in order to discover what it will be like, Moses sends some spies off into the country. They go off into Canaan secretly to see how the country runs, who's there, and to see if they can discern, to discover what the future would be like there. They're told to go through the Negev, that's the desert, and into the hill country. Cross the desert, go up into the hills. See what the land is like, says Moses, and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they walled or unwalled or fortified? How's the soil? Is it good soil? Is it bad soil? Fertile or poor? Are there trees in it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. Those are the instructions given to the spies. Go out and see what the land is like, how the people live there, and bring us back some souvenirs, some fruit, so that we know what the land is like and what life might be like when we enter into the promised land. And that's what they do. They go off and they explore, they discover this land is already occupied by all those tribes which we heard the names of. But they also find, yes, this land is full of milk and honey. It is a fertile land, as Moses had predicted. And so they come back and they make their report. But the problem is, of course, that amongst the spies there are two groups, there are two perspectives. On the one hand, there are those who are very positive, who give it a thumbs up, and they say, yes, the land you sent us to, full of milk and honey, it's great, we need to get in there and go now. But there were others who had seen the same land, who had seen the same things, and they were less certain. They gave it the thumbs down. We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. So on the one hand, there's a group saying, yes, it's wonderful and lovely, let's go. And another group says, wait, hang on a minute. The people who lived there could be difficult. They're bigger than us, stronger than us, and we're afraid that if we go into that land, we'll be defeated. And so the people of Israel are in a dilemma. What do? Do they go or do they not go? After 40 years of wandering around the desert, now they get to the point where some of them actually want to turn back. Some of them even say to Moses, oh, let's go back to Egypt, because at least we know what life was like there. In this new land, we're not so certain. Caleb and Joshua tried to persuade the people to follow God's calling. They tried to persuade them, in Numbers 14, to go on into the promised land. They say to them, if the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. But no matter how much Caleb and Joshua tried to persuade the people, they wouldn't have it. The majority of them decided that they would not go forward into the promised land. And if you want to read about what happens next, read Numbers chapters 14 and 15, and there you will see how those who rebelled were dealt with by God, and how the rest of the people of Israel had to go back into another period of wandering around the desert until eventually God led them into the new land. Now, you might say that's a very interesting Old Testament story. What does that have to say to us today in 2023? Well, I want to suggest that for most of us, we're in the same position. We are wondering what to do next. We are wondering whether to enter into the future with confidence or with some fear and trepidation. We are in 2023. We can't not go into 2023. But really, what attitude are we taking with us? Are we like Caleb and Joshua saying, yes, God has promised us a fruitful future and we will go ahead and follow him? Or are we saying, actually, life's a bit tough. Life's difficult. I think I'm going to just sit quietly and not get too excited. Well, I want us to think very quickly about the lessons which the story of the Israelites with Joshua and Caleb have for us. The first one is this, is that yearning for the past is not the way forward. Yearning for the past is not the way forward. When the Israelites saw the people living in Canaan, as I said, some of them wanted to turn round and go back to Egypt. They thought that the past was better than the future. At least they understood the past. But yearning for the past is not a good thing, because we can never go back exactly to where we were in the past. We are constantly moving forward. The Bible is a picture of moving forward from Eden, from the fall of mankind with Adam and Eve, through forward to Revelation, the book of Revelation, and the second coming of Christ, and the new earth that God is going to create. God does not want us to keep going back. He keeps taking us forward. But having said that, there is value of what we see in the past. Because as we've heard in our prayers, we can look back and see how God has blessed us. We can look back and see how God has seen us through difficult times. And that God has blessed us and he's been gracious to us. And that is an encouragement for us as we step out into the uncertainty of the future. As we step out into those parts of life which we're worried about. Psalm 92, the psalmist says, "For you make me glad by your deeds. O Lord, I sing for joy at the work of your hands." If we look to the past, we should be looking back at how God has blessed us and at the work of his hands has brought us to this point, rather than constantly wanting to go back. But that's what some of the Israelites wanted to do. And sadly, for those who wanted to do that, they never did get to the promised land. They never did get to fully enjoy God's promises for them. But the second lesson, which is really obvious to us, I guess, as we think about this story, is the fact that the future is not simple. It would be wrong and naive of me to say everything in the future of 2023 is going to be fine and dandy. We know through our experiences that life is not like that. We've seen it in this past year that life brings difficulties. Difficulties which we hadn't foreseen. We'd never foreseen the war in Ukraine. We hadn't foreseen the depth of or the height of the price rises which we are facing. Life is never simple. And so the future is always going to throw up some surprises. As they went into the land of milk and honey, some of them were expecting just to see, you know, grapes they could take from the vines. They weren't expecting to see tribes who were living in 45 towns and people who were bigger than them. But that was the reality. There were going to be problems and obstructions along the way. But sometimes we need to remember that actually it's our dream to have things laid out before us, which is simple and easy to follow. That's what we as human beings want. We want things to be easy for us. We want things to fall into our pattern, the way we want the world to be. But that's not necessarily God's way. Our dreams may actually be too selfish. Our dreams may not be the same, therefore may not bring benefit to other people, even though we think they're going to be good for ourselves. And one of the things I think we need to remember as we go into the future is this verse from Isaiah 55. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." That is challenging and reassuring. It's challenging because it's saying, look, you, human being, have not always got things right. Your way of thinking may not be the right way. But my way, says God, my way is maybe different, but it will bring blessings into your life. My ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts and your thoughts. Just as the heavens are above the earth, so what I have in mind for you and your families and your church and your people are above the thoughts and dreams that you have. And when we get uncertain about the future, we need to remember that God has things in his hands. God has things in his control. God has his plan for his people and his word, for his world rather. And these are things we need to hold on to. when perhaps things aren't going in the way that we want them to go. They may well be going the way that God wants them to go. And that's what matters. The third lesson is this, that we could, if we don't trust in God, be overcome by fear. What the problem was in Israel, with the Israelites, of course, were those who saw those men who were bigger than them and those towns which were difficult to capture. Actually, they were afraid of them. They, at that point, never tried to engage with them. They never tried to enter into the promised land. They were paralyzed, as it were, by the thought of what the future might be like. They were afraid, and that fear stopped them from doing things. And as we go into the future, we've got to not to allow our fear of what might be stop us from following the will of God. Psalm 121, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. If we are afraid, we can turn to God. We can turn to him to bring us reassurance, to comfort us, to give us the strength and encouragement that we need, rather than stay sort of rooted to the spot, afraid to move on. We may be afraid, we may be scared. That's what being human is. But where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who made everything. That's where our help comes from. And it's that help which overcomes our fear. We know that we have nothing to fear in the future. Even death itself is something not to be feared, because we know that we will live for eternity in the presence of God. So don't let fear stop us from doing things. Rather, let it make us turn to God himself. Then the fourth lesson is this, which stems from that one really, that God is always faithful. He's always faithful to us. Remember, he may not actually give us those things which we desire, those things which are part of our selfish desires, but he will always be faithful to us, doing what is best for us in the picture of eternity. And that's the great strength which we draw from our faith as we enter into the future. Some words from Hebrews chapter 10. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. There's a whole sermon in that verse. But don't throw away the confidence that I've just been talking about, that God is with us all of the time, that we can turn to God and his power. Don't throw that away. Hold on to it, and you will be richly rewarded. Persevere. Continue to do what you feel God is calling you to do. And when you've done that, when you've fulfilled the will of God, then you will be blessed. You will receive what he has promised, the wholeness of life. Jesus, I come to give you life in all its fullness. But we can only experience that fullness if we are totally reliant on God and totally faithful to God. Now, this is going to be a big year for Boreham Wood Baptist Church, because you have called a new minister. Rachel will be amongst you to lead you and to care for you and to bring God's vision to you. And having a new minister is a little bit like standing on the edge of the new promised land, because you're full of hope and you're full of enthusiasm, but you might get a little scared, because a new minister does things in a new way. A new minister brings new ideas and new challenges. Maybe wants to get you to consider stopping doing some old things and getting and doing some new things. And you could be fearful of that. You could get rooted to the spot and say, oh no, I remember how it used to be. That's how we want to keep it. But remember that there's nothing to be gained by yearning for the past. That God is taking us on a journey into the future. that God, as we trust in him and do his will and remember that his thoughts are not our thoughts, is going to take us, you, this church, into a new place of worship, a new place of witness, a new place where the depth of fellowship and caring amongst you will be deeper than it is even now. So you could enter 2023 and be with a thumbs up and say, yes, let's go for it. Or you could enter 2023 with a thumbs down saying, oh no, it's all too scary. I want to encourage you to go in with faithful hearts, with open minds, with the remembrance of what happened, that eventually the Israelites went into the promised land, the land that God had always promised them. And there he continued to sustain them. But here is my final message for 2023 for you. Something for you to remember and to take away. And this is the last slide. Remember, as you face 2023, that you are created, that you are loved, and you are empowered. If you remember those three words, created, loved, empowered, you will flourish in 2023, in whichever way God wants you to flourish. Remember that you are created by God the Father. We are his creation. We are his children, who you will not let go. We are loved by the Son. We are loved by Jesus Christ, who came to give his life for us. A love which led him to the cross and to his sacrifice for us. No matter who we are, no matter our background, that love continues forever. And we are empowered. We are empowered by the gift of God's Holy Spirit, who will take us through all that 2023 will bring to us as individuals, as a community, as a church, and even in the world. And so my prayer for you as Borehamwood Baptist Church is to go forward, knowing that God created you, loves you, empowers you, and that 2023 will be a year in which, yes, there will be ups and downs in our lives, but it will be another year when we'll be able to look back and know the blessings of God. Let's just take a moment's quiet to allow those thoughts to permeate into our thinking and our lives. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you created us and you love us and that you empower us. Help us to face the future with confidence in the knowledge that if we follow in your ways, that we will know your love and your care and your blessing. That if we follow in your ways, that we will flourish as people and as a church. We thank you for your past blessings. We thank you that you've brought Rachel to be the minister of this church, and we just pray for her as she prepares and her family prepare to come and take up that position here. And we pray that the things which you have laying on her heart now will be the things which we will be able to see of you in the future. Amen.